is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it. It is Free for All Friday here on the program. Sitting here reading a little bit about the 16-year-old girl in Delaware beaten to death in a bathroom by, it appears, by a group of girls over a boy. Amy Anita Joyner Francis, 16, died after being beaten by this group of girls. Her head bashed against a sink. They life-flighted her out of there, but not enough to, and not in time. So the school shut down and the forensic teams and the investigations are there. And it's all underway. Also, as you know by now, legendary musician Prince died at the age of 57 yesterday. No word yet on how he died or why he died. But TMZ reporting there might be some connection to an opiate addiction, I guess is the way I would read that. I'm Steve Gruber. This is the Steve Gruber Show on a free-for-all Friday. The hotline number is 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. Matt on the line today. Matt, welcome to it.
Yeah, I wanted to say that the role of government should be for the collective. It has to start collective, like your bridges, your roads. When it starts with the individual, they take out the struggle of humanity, and it makes everybody poorer eventually. So let's just say healthcare. It ends collective, but it starts individually. See what I mean? So if they take capitalism and they coddle it, it becomes crony capitalism. And instead of going back to capitalism, what they do is they double down and they go to socialism, which reduces capitalism. So if you go to the barter system, what they did was created this monetary thing would expand capitalism, so expanded life for people. What they're doing is shrinking it, and when they shrink it, it makes things worse for everybody, even the poor, the elderly, everybody. They take care of the poor, they're going to take the struggle out of humanity and create more poor.
That's right. What we need is less government regulation, less government interference, more capitalism. That's what we need on this planet, on this Earth Day. Matt, thank you for checking in. It's 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Earth Day, ironically, is it ironic or is it by design on the birthday of Vladimir Lenin, the ruthless Russian dictator and the guy that brought communism to Russia? It only cost 60 or 80 million people their lives. No big deal. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Earth Day. It is today, of course. And don't forget the event today. Go to the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. Find out about the big event in Okemos, where we'll be marking Earth Day by cooking ribs and chicken and hoisting a cocktail or two. Back on the original Earth Day in 1970, here are some of the predictions that were made. And I bring this to your attention, in not the ones made by Ira Einhorn, one of the founders of Earth Day, who people are trying desperately to write out because he murdered his girlfriend and stuffed her in a trunk and left her to compost right there in his apartment for 18 months before police found him. He was on the run for 20 years before he was finally arrested, now serving time for that. Civilization will end within 15 to 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind, said Harvard biologist George Wald. Genius. And wrong. Population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. The death rate will increase until at least 200 million people a year will be starving to death in the next 10 years, said Paul Ehrlich of Stanford. That was in 1970. So by 1980, 200 million people a year were to be starving to death. Didn't happen. Here's something else from Paul Ehrlich. Most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of the man have already been born. By 1975, some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. Other experts, more optimistic, think the ultimate food population collision won't occur until the 1980s. Paul Ehrlich, he still gets money, your taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the hotline. Tom on the line in Lansing today. Tom, welcome to the program.
I wanted to jump in here on the transvestites' bathrooms. I think all they need to do is provide a port-a-john for them to use. That's all they need. And what they could do, they could solve two problems. They could name them after people like Carl Levin instead of naming a destroyer after Carl Levin, which is a disgrace. They could name these port-a-johns for these transvestites after people, these Democrats like Carl Levin.
Well, that's one solution. You know,
new problem solves.
Neutral bathrooms. All right, Tom, thanks for checking in. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. We had another caller just call and ask if Don Grimes ever responded. No, I don't believe so. We sent him. Here's the thing. For any of you that missed the Don Grimes interview, best interview probably in a couple of weeks, Don Grimes from the University of Michigan had a complete meltdown here on the program about this time yesterday. He came on to talk about the unemployment numbers, and I simply pointed out to him that the unemployment numbers that are used today are not the same numbers that were used back before 1995 when Bill Clinton changed them. Oh, yes, it's the same measurement, same everything. That part's true. It is the same measurement. There are seven numbers, U1 through U7. And until the mid-1990s, the number that was used to give the American people the impression of what the economy was like was called a U6 number. It still is. It's a combination of those that are unemployed, underemployed, or, you know, not making enough. And by that measure today, the unemployment rate in America would be about 9.9%. Okay, and so if we still use that number, that's what it would be today, about 9.9%. Instead of the 4.8 or 4.9% the government claims is our current unemployment rate, which is nonsense. You know it, and so do I. Statistically speaking, full employment happens at 4%. Because there's always somebody in flux. So if you have a 4% unemployment rate, you basically have full employment in your country, in your community, whatever you're measuring. That's just the way that is. So anyhow, Mr. Grimes had a meltdown here yesterday telling me that I was wrong, which I'm not. But here's the thing. They went to the U3 numbers, which measures it quite differently and gives a much better number. Now, it benefited Bill Clinton. It's benefited every president since because it gives an inaccurate view of the economy of what's really going on. And it's beneficial to the person in the White House to have a smaller unemployment number, and that's why they go with that number, Republicans and Democrats alike. Okay, Tom on the line in Kalamazoo. You want to get to this or wait till after the break? All right, we'll wait till after the break. We'll take Tom and a couple more calls right after the break right here on Free For All Friday. Sit tight, Tom. I'll get right to you. 888-900-9966. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes that could cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all, and a heart is in. You can bet your life. Stakes are high, and so am I. It's in the air tonight.
Back to the hotlines now on a free-for-all Friday, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Tom, checking in Kalamazoo. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. So, this discussion is great because, you know, for the most part, we already know, you know, most of us who listen to shows like yours know that the unemployment is at 4.9. Even if you listen to Barry, we also know that the world wasn't destroyed 15 years after the prediction in the early 70s and 20 years after some yahoo went on TV and said that in 20 years the seas would be dead. the problem is that most of us don't talk about it in polite company, because when we hear somebody blathering on about these things that are blatantly untrue, we don't confront those facts.
And we should.
We have to. And you feed this discussion that we need to have with our friends and relatives, because you know it's so demonstrably true that the world is actually a better place right now.
So let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something here, Tom. I went back and looked. There is a letter from Don Grimes, who was here yesterday, and he admits in his first sentence the U6 numbers did change because of a redesign in 1994. But then he goes on to attack the old methodology, which I am going to say I don't agree with. Here's the fact. We know that 85 million people of working age and of able body in America are not working today. So you can't tell me, and I think you just covered this, Tom, in good faith, you cannot believe that the unemployment rate in America is about 4.9%. It doesn't mathematically add up. But he says the U6 numbers are no longer published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which I just found them, so I don't know what he's referring to, because I found the U6 numbers published many times since 1994. They've changed the way they do their assumptions. But I'm not the only one that can look at the U6 numbers and say they're 9.9%. Our good friend on the far left, Bernie Sanders, has been citing the same exact numbers for the last several months. You know, so people on the left or the right can find these same numbers. Now, I'm going to have Don back on the program. We can sort this out. But this notion that somehow we're at 4.9% unemployment, it doesn't stand the stink test to me or to a lot of you out there. I mean, we have places like Chicago or New York or Washington or Detroit or Lansing or Kalamazoo, and we know the unemployment rates are far higher. We know that the unemployment rates are higher than they should be. And I think that we all have a pretty good notion they're probably higher than 4.9%. Tom, I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate you supporting us there in Kalamazoo. Barbara now on the line in Marquette. New caller. Barbara, welcome aboard.
Hi, Steve. I want to thank you for your nutcase show. But I mainly called to tell you that I first heard you when you subbed for Frank Beckman on WJR quite a few years ago. I lived in Troy.
Yes, thank you.
Remember that?
I sat in for Frank several different, many different times, a lot of times. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, did you? Well, I heard you. Because I always listen to WJR and that, but I can get to the Marquette in the morning, so I'm so glad, because at 87, I'm very political, and thank you.
Well, I greatly appreciate your support, and at 87 years old, you've seen a lot, and so you have what I like to call a frame of reference. So I think you have experience that is very valuable to younger people, experience that you should share with younger people who, you know, you look at a socialist like Bernie Sanders, and you go, my God, how can people rally to this? I mean, isn't it frightening to you?
Very political, and all my family, we're all on the same side. So, but thank you so much.
Barbara, thank you for listening. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it. You know, we do the program for you. That's what the program's for. Make no mistake. I'm here to help expose you to ideas and to people you might not otherwise hear. Because as you look at the mainstream media, as I've talked about today, you could watch the mainstream media today. You'd get about 75% on the death of a pop star, and then some crumbs on other stories. Does that really help you? Does that really help you learn more about what's going on in your world today? And I would suggest strongly that it does not. I would strongly suggest that the team we have built here, be it Ivy and Rob, the executive producer and senior producer respectively, or Alex that works so hard to pull it all together, or the members of our news team from MTN News like Melissa and Katie and Lacey, the team that we've brought together here, we try very hard to bring you guests that bring, I guess, perspective, a frame of reference, like I just mentioned with Barbara there in Marquette, a frame of reference and experience, excuse me, that you're not going to find just anywhere. And it's important, because what's happening for so many people, you see this on these college campuses with these safe spaces as these coddled little college kids, that they're afraid of anybody else's ideas. That's what struck me so much yesterday about Don Grimes. You know, me disagreeing with the way he looks at those numbers, the next thing you know, he's basically calling me names and calling the show names and nutball radio. Well, that's a good way to go. I mean, if your argument isn't flying, you can just start insulting the host. That, I mean, that's one approach. Not necessarily the one that I would take, but it's one way to go. It's interesting, and it's good fun for radio, because if you make yourself look like a fool to the listeners, well, then that's on you. But if you come on this program, please be prepared, because we're going to have a conversation, a robust conversation. It's a free market of ideas. This is not a safe space. This is a place where we discuss things, and every once in a while, we'll change each other's minds. Because we'll come with information and logic and content that says, you might think this, but consider this over here first before you arrive at a final conclusion. That's what we're trying to do here, and I think we're doing a pretty good job. Again, not me. I'm a vehicle to get it done. Because of Ivy and Rob Burkhardt and the entire team I just mentioned, we get good guests and good people. Oh, yeah, and Sarah. Don't forget Sarah. She's out there doing it, too. A great group of people working hard for you. That's what the Steve Gruber Show is all about on this Free For All Friday.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged.
All right, welcome back to it. Big day coming here, Free For All Friday. Don Grimes will be back. Yep. In just a few minutes. You don't want to miss that, that's for sure. And if you're a fantasy sports person, you don't want to miss this part of the program. You know, where did they go? Is it gambling on sports, or is it just a fantasy game? You know, DraftKings and FanDuel, these folks were making a fortune. I mean, a fortune. One of them, which was it? I don't remember which one, made a $250 million ad buy on ESPN, and then it all got sidelined. No pun intended. Steve Lunger here is a senior fellow and senior editor for City Journal. His work focuses on state and local budget issues and the crippling effect of pensions in numerous states. But fantasy sports face a big test before Congress. Steve, that's the conversation for today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Where are we in this conversation?
Well, a number of states, of course, including especially New York, have banned these fantasy sports. So they've demanded that that they not operate unless the state passes a law allowing that. So some of these places are now, like FanDuel, and they are lobbying to get state laws passed. Meanwhile, however, there are going to be hearings in Congress about this, and the reason they're going to be hearings is that Congress passed a law back in 2006, the Unlawful Internet Gambling Act, in order to regulate internet gambling, but they gave an exemption to fantasy. They gave an exemption because they thought it was a kind of harmless just thing that people did among themselves, and suddenly, they created a loophole, and Americans are great at taking advantage of loopholes and creating, entrepreneurship, and so these two organizations came along and figured out how to make money out of this, and now Congress is saying, well, geez, I don't know, maybe we should have also included this in our federal legislation. So there are going to be hearings on this in a couple of weeks.
Let me ask you this. If they got a pile of tax money off this deal, do you think they'd be amenable to having it come back?
Well, federally, of course, the amount of tax money, the size of the budget and our deficit is so great that I don't think this would make that much, of an impact. The place that it does make an impact, of course, is at the state level, because there's a lot of competition for gambling revenues, nationwide now among the states. They're taking money away from each other, and state gambling revenues, tax revenues, although they're only about 3 or 4% of total budgets, in a very tough economy like this, where people are having trouble balancing their budgets, the decline in gambling revenues, especially since 2008, has actually hurt a lot of states. Now, here's the way this all figures in. The request for the federal hearings is from a New Jersey congressman who fears that FanDuel and places like that are going to make money that takes money away from the online gambling that New Jersey, itself passed a couple of years ago and is now allowing for its own residents. So in a way, you've got this, you know, battle, this sort of competitive battles. If we're going to be regulated, well, we want to regulate them too because it's hurting our revenues, you know, and we don't want them to get an advantage over us. So there's a backstory to all of this.
All right. So New Jersey wants their money. But my point being, though, that we come back to, Steve, is somebody wants to make money. I threw the tax idea out there. Maybe New York would be more amenable as a state if they could tax the daylights out of it and put money in their pocket because, well, generally politicians tend to, you know, identify with such ideas. But New Jersey obviously wants to protect their cash cow, too. So it's all about the money.
Well, yes, and see, you mentioned New York State, okay? But New York is making a big effort, and they have the lobbyists here, and the money here is in things like casinos and that sort of stuff, and they're kind of, you know, screaming and yelling that this business, because there's only so much money out there, and people don't exactly have a lot of money these days, so. Gambling essentially is a limited pool, and what takes from one, you know, takes away from the other. So New York State right now, the lobbyists who are spending the most money in a place like that are spending the money trying to get casino gambling in places like New York City, in the Catskills and places like that. So it's a kind of a battle among gambling interests, too.
Really? So everybody's fighting for that money.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, what we have found as more and more states have added gambling, legalized different kinds of gambling, is that it really is a limited pot. It's not unlimited, and the states are now cannibalizing each other. You look at Atlantic City, which is on the verge of going bankrupt as a city, and one reason for that is that their gambling revenues have declined 40% ever since Pennsylvania started opening up casinos just a few years ago. It's an extraordinary, basically the city has gone bankrupt because of that. So, and now what's the response in New Jersey? They're talking about allowing casinos throughout the entire state, passing a law to do that, to counteract what Pennsylvania is doing. Because there's really a limited amount of money for this, and they're cannibalizing each other right now.
So, you know, I've seen this, when I grew up, there was Las Vegas and there was Atlantic City and a few states. Montana had some gaming machines, poker machines and so forth, and a few states did, but there wasn't much. Today, you know, you drive through Michigan, for example, there are nice casinos, and I mean nice casinos all over the place. The same is true in states all over America. The gambling industry in general has gone through this metamorphosis, this incredible change over the last 25 years, has it not?
It has, but there was also this myth for a long time that, well, everybody gambles anyway, and if you legalize it, you know, there's just going to be this kind of unlimited supply. But that's actually not true. More and more studies show that the regular casino patron is a rather limited pool of people who do it over and over again, you know, the bus, senior citizen bus rides and stuff like that. And so as a result of that, everybody wants the revenue because they know they can tax gambling at a higher rate than just about anything else. You can't put the kind of sales tax on gambling on something like food that they put on gambling because, you know, it's not acceptable. But they know they can tax gambling at a higher rate. It's acceptable to do that. So everybody wants that dollar. But they're finding out that, you know, I mean, how many people do you know who regularly go to casinos? I don't know very many. So it's still a limited pool, and that's why there's essentially this battle over these revenues.
All right, so where do we go from here? We've got about a minute left here, Steve. And Steve Malenga's with City Journal. Where do we go from here? Do you think this fantasy gambling is going to make a comeback? Is it going to make it through the courts? Is it going to get struck down? They were generating piles of money. What's going to happen?
They certainly will. I think it's going to be regulated. First of all, the Internet Gambling Act, the federal act, gives the states the ability to regulate it themselves. The federal act applies if there's no state regulation. I think the states that want it are going to regulate it differently in each state, and the gambling sites are going to come to these accommodations because they see a market out there that nobody else has right now, and they might as well get it even if they have to accommodate the states. So I think we are going to see different forms of accommodation and an acknowledgement that this is gambling and all the things that go along with that, including taxation. I think we're going to see that, in a patchwork across the country.
All right. I greatly appreciate it. We'll keep an eye on it and have you back as this progresses. But, you know, for those who want to wager a little bit and bet on themselves, well, because I think it's more of a game than than gambling directly on sports. But that's just my opinion. I'm no attorney. Steve, thank you for stopping in.
All right, take care.
Steve Alenga, senior fellow, senior editor for City Journal. When we come back, I hear Don Grimes is going to join us on the program. I am so excited. So excited on a free-for-all Friday. I know you are, too. Stick right there. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Free-for-all Friday. All right, let me read you something here. This comes from CNBC. All right? Not exactly a bastion of conservative thought. The Labor Department said Friday, this is from March of 2016, that the U.S. unemployment rate remained officially at 4.9%. But that it went on to say most economists, according to this article from CNBC, look past this so-called official rate, known as the U3 numbers, to the U6 numbers, which includes more unemployed workers, which in March of 2016 stood at 9.9%. The reason being is the U6 rate includes all unemployed as well as persons marginally attached to the labor force, plus total employed part-time for economic reasons. It's considered to be more accurate. So says Nate Silver. So says Gallup. So I said on this program yesterday to Don Grimes and was promptly insulted. But Don Grimes is back on the program to explain maybe in more detail. Don, welcome back.
You're welcome.
So, all right. Here's the U6 numbers used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as cited by CNBC, cited by Gallup, cited by Nate Silver, and I could go on and on. And these people, and these are the terms they used in their headlines. Gallup, the real unemployment rate, 9.8%. CNBC, the real unemployment rate, 9.9%. You told me basically that we had a nut job radio program for citing these numbers. The floor is yours.
U6 is published by the BLS. So they are the ones who put together the data. It counts as you people who are working part-time, but say they want to be working full-time in addition to the regular unemployment rate, the official published unemployment rate. It also counts people who tell the census taker, the census does the survey, that they are unemployed, and they tell the census taker that they're not looking for a job or have not looked for a job in the last month, but that they want a job. And those are the people who they are considered discouraged workers. So it is a very, very broad measure of the unemployment rate, basically accounting for anybody who could potentially want more employment, the part-time workers who want a full-time job, or the people who claim they want a job but haven't looked for one. So it's a very, very broad measure. It is typically run about twice as high as the official unemployment rate. So when the unemployment rate is about 5%, which it is now, U6 unemployment rate runs about 9.8, 9.9, or 10%, up twice as high. That's in good times and in bad times. So essentially, it's only a scaling factor. The metric that you really want to use is to compare what has happened to the unemployment rate over time, whether you're using the U3 rate or the U6 rate. And in both cases, the unemployment rate, since the recession, since 2009, 2010, has been cut in half. Whether you're looking at the U6 rate or the U3 rate, the unemployment rate has fallen by about half.
What is statistical full employment for you?
Well, I use the one that is the longest running, the longest available unemployment rate, which is the official unemployment rate, which is 4.9% or 5%.
It's not what I said, what is statistically
it
to
matters.
You?
It matters. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is it's only a scaling factor and an effort to get headlines by the news media. The thing, I mean, I didn't hear you say that the U6 rate had fallen by half. Which it has, just like the regular unemployment rate.
All right, I'll go ahead and answer my own question, Don. The statistically full employment in America is about 4%. according to every economics professor I had in college. 4% is considered to be full employment in America. I don't think there's a lot of people listening.
Half, yep.
I don't think that most people listening now believe that we're within 1 point of being fully employed in America. Do you actually believe that? Because I certainly don't. Maybe you do.
Well, we're at 5, so we're getting close. Now, the official unemployment rate for the U6 rate would be about 8%, and we're at 9.8%.
Yeah,
so
which seems a lot more accurate.
We'll move down over time towards full employment. We're not there yet, but we're actually much closer than we were about 5 or 6 years ago.
And that part's fine.
But this debate over numbers is not really what's important here.
Well, what I'm trying to get at, Don, if I may, what I'm trying to get at, Don, if I may, saying that the unemployment rate is 4.9%, the same point I was trying to make yesterday, is deceiving, I believe. I don't believe it's an accurate measure of the economy where real income is declining. Private home ownership is at its lowest point since 1967 at 63%, the lowest labor participation rate in 3 decades. And I could go on and on about the problems with the economy. And I believe that a 4.9% unemployment rate taken as the official rate is deceptive. That's my point.
But if so, is the relative to the U6 rate, which you put much more store on and cite CNBC and Gallup, which is a polling organization as far as I know, that they should be using the U6. But essentially what you have to do when you're looking at the unemployment rate is to look at it in a historical basis in terms of whether or not the labor market is tight, whether or not the economy is doing well. Typically, the U6 rate is about 8%. At the same time, the official unemployment rate is 4%.
All right, let me ask you this, Don, before we run out of time.
Because they're counting all of these extra people, there's fundamentally no change in the relationship between the U6 and the U3 over time.
Let me ask you one question.
All you're trying to do is to say that things are worse than it is. Now, where are
I'm not trying to say anything.
You're right about the labor force participation rate has declined, home ownership has declined, and
right.
Those are metrics that say that things are weaker.
So here's my question. It's a yes or no question, Don. It's a yes or no question. Is the economy in good shape, yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Don, I do appreciate you calling back. We'll do it again sometime soon, 52 after on a free-for-all Friday.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless
Let me tell you what's great about America. And we're going to wrap things up today with what's great about America. Even if you're a really lousy singer, like Bernie Sanders here.
This land was made for you and me.
This is Bernie Sanders, of course. From an album from years ago. Even in America, no matter how lousy you are, you can record your own album. Freedom of speech, freedom to embarrass yourself, freedom from everything. Anyhow, Earth Day. Don't worry, we'll get to all of it. Earth Day, don't forget to come to the big event if you can tonight. Gilbert and Blake's Okemos. I know for some of you that's just way too far. But set your sights on it for next year because we'll do it then too. But we'll have ribs and chicken and drink specials at Gilbert and Blake's. All sorts of specials on the menu to celebrate Earth Day. Bring your Harley. It's going to be a good day. 60 degrees, no rain. Ride the Harleys. Bring the SUVs. Bring the big gas guzzlers and the classic cars. Bring it all. Out there, and you can check it out and find it on Facebook, the Steve Ruhr Show Facebook page, which, by the way, has been growing dramatically lately. I appreciate that, and I could use some more support as that continues to grow and we continue to grow listeners and affiliates around the state. I really do appreciate it. I think that's what's great about America, at least now, the freedom to assemble, to speak your mind, and to talk about things. And I give Don Grimes credit for coming back. I do. I'm surprised, but I give him credit for that. He stood in there. He still believes that the economy is in great shape. I don't know that many people would agree with him with real income declining, private home ownership plummeting, the unemployment rate, the real, that's the word that CNBC uses, that Nate Silver uses, that Gallup uses, that a whole host of people use, real unemployment at about 9.8%. And by the way, the relationship does correlate, but not as precisely as he was indicating, not from what I'm seeing from charts looking backwards. At any rate, we'll see you tonight, those of you that show up, 4 until 7 for the Earth Day celebration. And then it's off to who knows where after that. Have a great weekend. That's it. No more Bernie Sanders. This land is your land. Gosh, I'm so disappointed, Alex. So it is. At any rate, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk soon. It's the Steve Gruber Show.